KOIN Portland, 97, it's 11 o'clock, and here's CBS News from New York.
CBS News, a strong earthquake is reported near the Soviet Union's border with Iran. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The Earthquake Information Center in Colorado says the quake measured 6.9 on the Richter scale, strong enough to cause serious damage in a populated area. Officials said they are not certain where the center of the quake hit, but noted it is not far from a Soviet city badly damaged by an earthquake in 1949. So far, there are no reports from the area as to whether or not an inhabited region was affected. More news in a moment.
You've listened to the taste of stock dry vermouth. Now listen to the taste of some of the well-known white wines. Notice the similarity? That's because stock dry is a crystal clear white wine, and then some. Listen to the exotic herbs we add to it. Just a little, but just enough to add excitement. Here stock's refreshing delicacy. Notice the subtle suggestion of playful intrigue. Imported stock dry is perhaps the ultimate white wine. Listener, it's time for tasting. Try imported stock dry vermouth, chilled straight or on the rocks. Once you do, you'll never listen to another white wine. Stock sweet and dry vermouth, distillery of stock, Trieste, Italy.
City workers remain on strike in San Francisco. One union leader is threatening to call a general strike in the city. Late Wednesday, the Board of Supervisors called in union leaders to present a new proposal. Technicians and news writers remain on strike against the National Broadcasting Company. On Wednesday, NBC filed a $550,000 damage suit against NABET, the striking union. The company alleges sabotage to company equipment and loss of revenue. A cabinet member has some thoughts on the nation's economy and a warning of what could thwart the recovery. A report from Ike Siemens of station WTVJ in Miami.
Secretary of Labor W.J. Ussery says the nation's economy stands a good chance of improving steadily this year, provided that strikes can be avoided. Speaking to the International Union of Operating Engineers Convention in Bal Harbour, Florida, Ussery, a former union leader himself, said the burden is on the construction industry, which has 3,500 contracts expiring this year.
I feel that it is absolutely essential for those of you who have contracts expiring in this heavy year of negotiations to return to your communities committed to providing the leadership required to accomplish practical, reasonable solutions to the labor management problems. This will not only be good for your industry, but it will be good for our nation and our economy.
Ussery says, as Secretary of Labor, he's committed to see that there is labor harmony, since he's concerned with maintaining an accelerated economic growth this year. Ike Seaman for CBS News, Bal Harbour, Florida.
A reporter for the student newspaper at San Jose State University in California has written a story saying she discovered and witnessed a pornography ring operating on the campus. The story said some of the students, male and female, were earning money acting in blue movies filmed on the campus. Jim Noah, a spokesman for the university, had this statement.
The university is conducting an investigation into these allegations reported in the campus newspaper. If these are true, it's contrary to university policy. We have a policy against obscene behavior. And if we uncover any evidence of this kind of conduct, we'll take appropriate disciplinary action.
Noah says there have been some comments around campus about this being a good business enterprise, but the university does not see it that way. Former Oklahoma Senator Fred Harris has called a news conference to be held Thursday when he is expected to announce he is withdrawing as an active candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination. Arizona Congressman Morris Udall says he's going to stay in the race for the nomination in spite of his loss to Jimmy Carter in Wisconsin. Udall says the next primary in Pennsylvania is important to him. He says he plans to spend up to 9 days campaigning for that primary, which is on April 27th. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled, To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
In Manila a short time ago, three hijackers of a Philippine airliner agreed to release all 69 passengers being held on the plane at Manila Airport. Officials announced the agreement was made in exchange for a government pledge that four prisoners the hijackers wanted free will not be harmed. The hijackers commandeered the plane over 24 hours ago. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 news, a 24-year-old Warrenton lumber mill worker has been charged with the murder last weekend of 51-year-old Francis Christians of Cannon Beach. Suspect is identified by the Clatsop County District Attorney's Office as George William Nulf. He was arrested without incident at his home and arraigned this afternoon in district court. He entered no plea. The Associated Students Alert Organization and the Oregon Architectural Barriers Council will sponsor a Handicapped Awareness Week at the University of Oregon campus, April 12th through the 16th. One feature of the week will be Experience a Day in a Wheelchair, where a person will be allowed to sign up to use a wheelchair and experience some of the problems encountered by those who use that vehicle. Former Senator Eugene McCarthy is going to speak at Linfield College's public conference on With Liberty and Justice for All. The conference is scheduled April 23rd and 24th, also scheduled to address the group are Dr. Walter Johnson, history professor at the University of Hawaii, and Dr. Sidney Hook, a senior research fellow at the Hoover Institute on War, Revolution, and Peace in Palo Alto, California. Incidentally, the conference is financed by a $6,500 grant from the Oregon Humanities Committee. Portland City Council decided to spend the proposed Willamette Greenway boundary issue back to the Planning Commission after several dozen property owners along the river complained. The commission is expected to consider the matter on any additions to the Greenway boundaries within the city at its May 4th meeting. At issue is the city's right to add to the boundary set by the 1973 legislature, which set a 150-foot protected zone on each bank of the river. And the Oregon Economic Development Commission is going to take action next week on a $2.6 million industrial revenue bond issue to finance construction of manufacturing facilities for a plant in Klamath Falls. Look for a little light rain tonight, a few showers and sunny periods on Thursday, partly cloudy Thursday night and Friday with a chance of some showers. Lows tonight 40 to 45, highs tomorrow and Friday near 60, the chance of rain 80% tonight, 60% chance of rain Thursday, and it's a 50% shot of rain Thursday night. Current temperature outside in the Rose City is 50 degrees. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, conductor of this ominous omnibus that stops at all stations of the outre and the macabre. Much that I sought, I could not find. Much that I found, I could not bind. Much that I bound, I could not free. Much that I freed, returned to me. And what is the poet telling us? That practically speaking, in the end, it will all be as it was in the beginning. And so, therefore, it's not what you think you accomplished, but how good a run you got for your money. Some folks get a better run than others, don't they?
I'm sorry, Doctor, I can't trust you.
If you can't trust me, Mr. Bell, I cannot treat you.
I have a great many enemies, powerful, wealthy enemies. How do I know you won't sell them my secrets?
Because I am a doctor, and I have my code of ethics.
Yeah, suppose someone were to say to you, let me look at Harry Bell's file. I'm willing to pay you very well. What would you say?
I would refuse.
And if he said, I'll give you $1 million?
I would still refuse.
Has anybody ever actually offered you $1 million?
No.
Well, then don't be so quick to answer.
Our mystery drama, The Paradise Cafe, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Court Benson. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Allied Van Lines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
Do you know that over 250,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks?
No.
No, we didn't know that.
You like your Buick, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A lot.
Uh-huh. A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably nothing you don't like about your Buick, right?
I can't think of a thing.
Well, we could probably even say you love your Buick, right?
Yeah, you could say that I love my Buick.
Really?
In fact, I'll bet you wouldn't trade that Buick for $1 million.
Oh, I wouldn't bet that.
Oh, he bet it, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay, it's a bet. Here's the Buick. Where is the cashola? Let me see it. I don't think he's coming across.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be. Nice to see you join us. Glad your spirit's free.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
If I could leave one thing with you when I'd leave this earth behind, I'd like to leave a bright blue sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children, I'd be free. A life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe.
Pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Consider primitive man who cowered in a cave, who literally trembled at every falling leaf, who saw himself surrounded on every side by malevolent spirits. Even the gods to whom he prayed were capricious and fickle. That was primitive, ignorant, undeveloped man. But why do we have similar problems? We sophisticated, modern, civilized beings. Primitive man went to a priest who would read his fate in the entrails of a goat. We go to a priest who tries to read our destiny by probing into, beneath, and beyond our mind. Of course, we don't call him a priest. We call him
Doctor. I don't know how to explain this. Maybe it can't be explained, but...
Yes?
It's 1:30. I gotta use your phone to call my office.
I'm sorry. I don't think you should make a telephone call.
Now, look, Doctor, you don't understand. A multi-million-dollar deal is involved here. Some people from Chicago are arriving
and I... You have asked me for 1 hour of my time to discuss a certain very serious problem, Mr. Bell.
But I have to leave instructions for my...
You have already wasted half of it.
It's... crazy.
Yes?
I mean, what's happening to me? It's crazy.
How do you define crazy?
Look, I went to the library. You know why? How could you know? I went to look up what they had to say about possession. Do you know what possession is?
In what sense?
Well, I wanted to see if it was possible, if it was possible for something or someone to take possession of another person. Okay, now I've told you. And that's a tape recorder playing, isn't it?
Yes.
You can ruin me.
Ruin you? How?
How? You could make that tape public. You could play it for the board of directors of my corporation, to some of the banks I have to deal with, to certain other parties. All they'd have to do is hear that.
As a physician, I am prohibited by both law and ethics from revealing...
Hand me that. Every man, every woman has his price. I don't care who or what you think you are. You can be had. Do you know how much money's involved here?
Money?
Yes, money. What do you know about money? Give me that tape recorder.
For what purpose?
I want to erase that tape.
If you don't trust me, I can't be your doctor.
Well, I trust you. But you're going to erase the tape. Now, we press this erase button.
Mr. Bell, I'm afraid our session is over.
Look, I trust you, understand? But, you see, I know I'm being watched.
Why do you say that?
Well, a man in my position, it would take my word for it. So it's discovered I'm seeing a shrink. No offense intended by the usage of the expression. So they figure...
They? Who is they?
I'll take my word for it. I got more theys than I can handle. So they figure, what's he telling the shrink? We ought to know. And so they offer you $1 million.
I told you, my records are not for sale.
Well, you're giving me slogans. Did anybody ever offer you $1 million?
Why did you come here?
Well, it's... On account of this possession thing.
Yes.
Well, it's that simply somebody, something is taking possession of me. Taking over.
Is it happening now?
No. No, because right now I'm fighting it. When I think about it, I can fight it off. But I can't keep thinking all the time. So it sneaks in and takes over. And even when I do think, it gets harder and harder because this thing gets stronger and stronger.
How does this possession manifest itself?
It makes me different.
In what way?
Well, it makes me feel different, think different, act different. Last night, all of a sudden, I take a cab down to the opera house and I go to the opera. Now, why would I want to go to the opera?
Don't you like music?
God, not that kind of music. And that's not the point. All I'm saying is, all of a sudden, I have to go to the opera. And I sit through it, too. Something made me stay.
How can you describe this something?
Well, I'm trying to tell you. It's like I'm somebody else. Doing things, saying things, thinking things. And Xanadu did Kubla Khan, a stately pleasure dome decree.
Yes?
Why did I say that? Well, tell me. Where did that come from? I don't even know what it means.
But you heard it somewhere. You read it somewhere.
Never.
It is a fragment of a poem by Coleridge.
Well, I never heard of him either.
But you must have read or studied that poem in high school.
Yeah, I never went to high school. In Xanadu, did Kubla Khan, stately pleasure dome decree, whereof the sacred river ran through caverns measureless to man. Stop it! Stop it!
Mr. Bell.
That's what he or she, or what it was saying, inside me. Through me. That wasn't me. It was my voice, but it wasn't me.
No. I want you to lean back in your chair and relax.
No, wait. Not until I make this phone call.
But, Mr. Bell...
My life depends on it. You doctors. A lot of things you don't understand. You can say relax, relax, but... Hello? Marguerite? Yeah, the people show up yet. Well, tell them, we cannot go through with the deal. Yeah, that's right. I'm aware of the problems. But I'm forced to cancel the deal. I'm afraid they'll have to do their worst. Did you hear what I just said? It wasn't me saying that.
It wasn't.
Because you know what I just did? I just signed my own death warrant. When I said cancel that deal, I asked for it.
You mean you will die because of a business deal?
Doctor, people like you know very little about the world. I mean the real world. Money. That's what it's about, money. Money, the winding sheet of the human race. There, there! He's talking again. That isn't me.
And the cancellation of this deal will result in your death? Why?
Because certain people won't go for it. Please, Doctor, get rid of this thing for me.
Get rid of it?
Don't you turn me down. I'll pay you whatever you ask. Look, I'm a hard guy, sure. I'm considered a legit businessman, but the rumors are true. I got the rackets behind me, and I use the rackets, too. But you have to save me. My life is on the line.
But if it is as simple as telling your secretary that the deal is still on, just tell her.
I can't. He won't let me. Whoever he is, he won't let me.
How is he stopping you? There is the phone. Reach for it.
It's more than that. It has to do with space.
Space?
Yeah, kind of open space and fresh air and kids. You know what I mean?
No.
Kids playing. You see, the deal's going to kill that. The deal's going to have a lot of factories. We bought up all that land because we knew they were going to build a turnpike alongside.
What are you saying?
We own the chairman of the state committee on highways. What am I talking about? We practically own the whole legislature. Look, it's 12 o'clock noon. The Chicago guys will be in at one sharp. I have to be able to tell them the deal is on. Do you understand?
Mr. Bell, I would advise a period of complete rest.
You're doing it again. You're talking to me as if I'm a nut. Somebody's inside me. Get him out. Get him out by 1 o'clock.
Relax. Don't resist anyone or anything. Whoever it is inside you, let him or it take over. Just yield.
Well, I have to fight.
Later, when we find out who. Now, relax. Let your mind feel free.
Weave a circle around him thrice, and close thine eyes in holy dread. For he on honeydew hath fed, and drunk the milk of paradise. That isn't me. I never heard that before in my life.
Think of those words that have just come out of your mouth. Do any of them mean anything to you?
No.
Weave a circle? Anything about weaving circles?
No.
Thrice. The number three.
No.
Close your eyes. Are you afraid of blindness?
No.
Holy dread. Are you afraid?
Sure, I'm afraid. I'm scared stiff.
Honeydew hath fed.
Honeydew is a melon that don't mean a thing.
And drunk the milk of paradise? Milk?
No.
Paradise?
No.
Then I don't know what approach I can possibly...
Wait. Paradise?
Yes?
Paradise.
What about paradise?
I'm trying to think. Oh, I know. The cafe. The cafe, paradise. The paradise cafe, yeah. They tore the place down about 15 years ago.
Paradise Cafe.
The Paradise Cafe. Yeah, he used to come in there and recite poems.
Who?
This guy, Stanley. Stanley Mason.
Stanley Mason?
Yeah, a nutty kind of a guy. He used to hang around. He was sweet on Helen.
Who was Helen?
She was a waitress in the Paradise Cafe before they tore it down. And before?
Before what?
Before I killed her.
At this point, you know as much as we do. Harry Bell, a wealthy, if notorious, operator,
is in the office of psychiatrist Maria Kluger, and he claims that he is being possessed. Something, someone, is inside him, making him do things alien to his nature and preventing him from doing something that could be a matter of life and death. To develop this story, we need a second act, and I shall be back with it in just a few moments.
Moving on with the allied spirit, going to a brand new town. You're leaving the fast miles behind you, with all our bad lines, you're homeward bound. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the allied spirit, and it feels like I'm going home. New friends to make, new seeds to sow, with allied landlines, I'm raring to go. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the allied spirit, and it feels like I'm going home. Hello, tomorrow, I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the allied spirit.
Let the allied spirit move you. See the yellow pages for the nearest Allied Landmines agent.
Hi, this is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. In addition to our other services, which are supported separately, Project Research has been established to deliver that knockout punch against leukemia. I can also tell you that every dollar donated to Project Research will help support a doctor or researcher in the leukemia field. Join me and get on a winning team, because it is only through research that a breakthrough can be made. Throw your knockout punch against leukemia. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. That's Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Our thanks to you for Project Research. We are committed to conquering leukemia.
The best known line in the hit play of the London stage in the year 1697 was, "Possession is worth 11 points in the law." Possession. Well, when you own the body of another person, that's called slavery. When you own his soul, what name can we give that? But can you own the soul of another human being and speak for him, think for him, act for him? It seems to be happening to Mr. Harry Bell.
Well, we have you and a man named Stanley and a waitress, Helen, in the Paradise Cafe.
Yeah, I remember.
And you murdered Helen?
That doesn't go past this office.
Why did you murder her?
Because I didn't murder her.
But you said that you...
I killed her.
There is a difference.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Tell me how it happened.
Well, Helen, she was... kind of, you know, built. Everybody wanted to take her out. But she was a smart little dame. Well, anyhow, we were sitting around one night and...
Helen, thy beauty is to me like those Nisian barks of yore, that gently o'er a perfumed sea, the weary, way-worn wanderer bore to his own native shore.
You don't say.
That's by Edgar Allan Poe.
Well, is that a fact? Whatever happened to this other guy, Kubla Khan? He give him the night off?
Coleridge. I may be in a minority, but I place Coleridge with the major poets.
No kidding. You hear that, Helen?
I don't know when I've ever been so thrilled in all my life.
Although his time was during the highly romantic period, he was curiously modern.
Ah, this is news to me.
Well, he was very much concerned with pollution. For example, in his poem, Cologne, about the highly industrial German city, he says, "The river Rhine, it is well known, doth wash your city of Cologne. But tell me, nymphs, what power divine shall henceforth wash the River Rhine.
Hey, Stanley, did you ever figure a way to make a buck out of all these poems?
True, poets have always been involved with the beauties of nature. But Coleridge is the first to be concerned with man's attacks on the basic environment. Oh, Helen, there's a concert tomorrow night.
A free concert, I'll bet.
In the park.
Are you kidding?
It's more than a concert, it's an opera.
Well, that lets me out.
But it's really a very funny opera.
Well, I'd rather see the Marx Brothers.
This is called The Barber of Seville.
The Barber of Seville, Doctor. The Barber of Seville. That was the opera I went to see last night.
Yes?
Why did I go? Why did I sit through it?
Tell me more about the Paradise Cafe and why you murdered Helen.
I didn't murder her. It was an accident.
Tell me.
Well, Stanley would always try to make time with Helen, but he was going about it all wrong. He was throwing this crazy poetry at her.
Yet each man kills the thing he loves. By each, let this be heard. Some do it with a bitter look, some with a flattering word. The coward does it with a kiss, the brave man with a sword.
Put another nickel in the jukebox, Stanley, and give us a rest, will you?
Helen...
You're going to order something, Stanley? Well, then, beat it.
But, Helen...
Get lost, creep!
Oh, let it roll off his back. He'd come back for more, night after night, you know what I mean? Some guys, they never learn. One night, we're in the place. Helen's busy with some other customers. So I said to Stanley... Hey, Stanley, that's not the way to score with a dame.
Score? No. I don't think you understand, Harry.
Huh? What don't I understand?
I'm in love with Helen.
Oh, sure, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, love.
Not your kind of love, Harry.
Ah, get wise, Stanley. There are guys taking Helen out, guys who spend a couple of bucks. You want to make time? Takes dough.
I don't believe it.
What do you believe, Stanley? Can't answer, can you? You know why? Because you're not money. Only money talks today. Everything else is just idle chatter.
You really believe that, don't you?
Why, indeed, I do. I really and truly and honestly do.
Oh, money. The winding sheet of the human race.
Well, whatever it is, without it, you're dead. Guess who Helen's going out with tomorrow night? Me.
You? I don't believe it.
Why not?
Because you're... Harry, you're quite ordinary, and Helen is an unusual, a most unusual human being.
Yeah, yeah. You think so? Well, here she comes now, Stanley. Just watch this. Observe the old master in action.
Well, here's the two freeloaders.
She walks in beauty, like the night.
Helen... What are you doing tomorrow night?
Why, what'd you have in mind?
Well, for starters, dinner at Lariccio's.
Lariccio's? Oh, you know what it costs to even tip the hat check, girl, Lariccio's?
Yeah, I do. Afterwards, we'll go to the Trotters, lay a few bucks on several nags. We'll wind up with some supper and dancing at the Chesterfield Club.
You must be nuttier than Stanley.
Well, that may be or not. Meanwhile, I have to make my arrangements for the evening, so what's the answer?
No, where would you get the kind of dough for a night like that?
Well, in my pocket. Here, take a look.
Hey.
Yeah, it's not a 20 covering a roll of ones either. This is solid all the way, baby.
Oh, what'd you get?
Well, I developed a green thumb.
No, tell him no.
Hey, Stanley.
Listen, creep.
Tell him no. Don't go out with him. He doesn't love you. He doesn't even respect you.
Get out of here before I have you thrown out.
If you go with him, you'll regret it.
Oh, take off.
You'll pay for it.
Stanley, I think you heard the young lady.
I'm warning you.
Stanley, you're making a scene. There are people in the place.
You'll be sorry for the rest of your life.
Well, he finally ran out of there. People looked at him as if he was a nut, which he was.
Several questions. First, where did you get the money?
Well, that was the year I learned. You see, I knew you had to have money. But how did you get it? Carry a gun and steal ass for chumps. You can say I learned how to put certain people together with certain other people, or with things they needed, or both. That was the year I began. I learned that if people think you have money, they come to you. And they've been coming ever since.
And when did you murder Helen?
It wasn't murder.
Whatever it was. When did it happen?
That night we made the rounds. Dinner, the races, dancing, supper. Yeah, we kept going. Finally, I took her home.
Oh, it was a great evening, Harry.
Yeah, sure was.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so did I.
Well, good night.
Good night. Wait, what's with this good night?
Oh, now, just a minute, Harry.
Well, I'm coming in.
No, Harry.
Good night. What do you think this
Harry,
is?
Harry, please, I'm really very tired. And...
Well, if you're tired, you can drink a cup of coffee.
Harry, I'm just going to have to ask you to leave.
What do you think you got here? A sucker like Stanley? You know how much dough I went for tonight? $280.
But, Harry, we can go out again?
And all I'm going to get for my $280 is good night at the door.
Harry, I like you. I like you very much. It's just that...
Oh, no,
Harry,
baby, no.
Please, Harry, please.
You don't make a chump out of
no,
Harry,
no,
not you.
Keep away from me, please.
Old Harry doesn't mind
please.
Going for the dough, but that's got to be a payoff.
Keep away from me.
Come on over here,
Harry,
baby.
No.
Come over here. Put that knife down. You'll hurt yourself.
Keep away. I said keep away.
All right.
His bowl of fruit. She had on the table, and there was a knife, and she picked it up, and she came at me with it, and I tried to knock it out of her hand, and, well, I had to hit her. I mean, it was self-defense, and I hit her, but I hit her very hard, and she fell over kind of hard, too, and she hit her head against the table. I can't remember. Anyhow, that's what killed her.
She was dead.
Yeah. All of a sudden, she was dead.
And then, what did you do?
I'm telling you this, but you try to peddle it to anybody and I'll make you look like a chump.
What did you do?
Well, that was the year I guess I grew up. It was the year I became the kind of guy I am today.
And what kind of guy is that?
I learned the key to it all. Never use your own money.
What does that mean?
Always have someone else pay for you.
Stanley?
Stanley.
But how could you get Stanley?
You can arrange anything if you know how. I looked down at her body. I said to myself, the very least I can hope for here is manslaughter. And that's at least 5 years away. Let Stanley serve the time. He's not doing anything anyhow. So I went over to Stanley's little furnished room. I had to wake him up.
Oh, Harry, do you know what time it is?
Yeah. Listen, she wants you.
Who does?
Well, who do you think? Helen.
But she went out with you.
Yeah, I know. It was a mistake, Stanley. We both knew it was a mistake. We spent the whole time just... talking about you. At least Helen did.
Helen?
Yeah. She's in her apartment, crying her eyes out.
She is?
She wants you to forgive her, Stanley.
Forgive her? Of course.
Go there and tell her.
Now?
Stanley, you gotta make the moves. Come on, she needs you. Don't you understand?
Oh, of course I understand. I knew that deep down I could possess her. She would be mine. I would possess her soul with patience. She's mine.
Yeah. She's all yours. Go and get her.
19th Precinct, Sergeant Sloan.
Sergeant, I hope it's a false alarm, but I happen to pass my 221 Collier Place... And I'm sure I heard a woman screaming, you know, as if she was being murdered or something.
You say the address is 221 Collier?
But I didn't do it, officer. I didn't do it.
You'll have to come along with us, Mr. Mason.
But she was dead. She was already dead when I got here. Sergeant, you have to believe me.
It doesn't matter if I believe you or not, Mr. Mason. Your problem is going to be with a judge and a jury.
As you have already guessed, he's going to have quite a problem. But that's why we're here. To give people problems and to permit them to work out the solutions. And sometimes we discover that the solution can be even more of a problem than the original problem, which is where we are heading in Act 3.
Did you ever think of advertising as news? Well, it is. It tells what, where, and how much about products you use. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that True Value Hardware Store's ad in April's Better Homes and Gardens magazine is news like that. You'll find a Lawn Chief 20-inch, 3.5-horsepower rotary mower at a remarkably low price. It includes extra functional features that'll really count when you mow the lawn on a hot day in August. And it's just $97.76. And you'll find that True Value Hardware Stores offer the Nelson Dialer Rain Sprinkler. Turn its dial to any one of four watering patterns. It covers up to 3,000 square feet, and it's just $16.99. And there's an Ortho lawn and garden sprayer that attaches to your garden hose. It mixes water and chemicals accurately, and water pressure does the work. See these values and more in True Value Hardware Store's ad in April's Better Homes and Garden magazine. They're just a few of the values at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
Cancer hasn't stopped 1.5 million Americans from living full, active lives. One of them is golf champion Gene Littler.
You really never know how many friends you have until something like this comes about. People write me now that have the same problem, and I write back to them, try to give them a little bit of a boost. And hopefully this is a help to them, and this is one reason that I want to continue on the tour and play well, because I think that I can be, in some small way, an inspiration to a lot of people that are afflicted with this disease, and I think that I can be of some help.
Gene Littler, a real champion. This is Jose Ferrer. Join him and join me in fighting cancer. Give generously to your American Cancer Society.
With a little bit of hard work, a lot of support from your family, and a lot of faith in God, why anything's possible.
We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
Well, it's the complicated plans that usually founder and sink in the stormy seas of reality. Therefore, keep it simple. Simple the way Harry Bell kept it simple. You want somebody else to pay for a murder that you have just committed? Don't get involved in complicated machinations. Just arrange to have your patsy in position when the police arrive. You'd be surprised how swiftly nature takes its course.
And so, Mr. Bell, you framed Stanley Mason for the murder.
That happens every day.
People are framed for murder every day?
People pay heavy prices for other people.
But to make poor Stanley pay the price for you...
Why not?
Why not? Do I have to explain it to you?
No, I have to explain it to you, Dr. Kluger. You see, that's why Stanley was born.
To pay for your crime?
He was born to be a fall guy. You see, I did a lot of reading. No formal education, maybe, but I did a lot of reading. And I've been around. Did you ever hear the expression, nature hates a vacuum?
The word is abhors. But we needn't quibble.
Yeah. Well, just understand the point. Where there's a need, it gets filled. There's a need in this world for suckers, fall guys. And so nature supplies them. You see what I mean? Stanley was born to be a fall guy.
And what happened to Stanley?
Well, I lost control of that situation.
How?
Well, I didn't think he'd get the chair. In those days, they still had the death penalty, and, well, they used to hand it out, too. Anyhow, I thought it would be manslaughter or murder in the second or third. But I forgot. The DA could establish premeditation.
But you did intend to murder Helen Walker.
No.
The witnesses who have just testified here, are they lying? Isn't it true that you were insanely jealous? Well,
I was jealous, yes.
And when you heard that Helen Walker was going out with Mr. Harry Bell, didn't you threaten her?
No, no.
You didn't say, and I quote the witnesses, you'll regret it, you'll pay for it, you'll be sorry for the rest of your life?
Yes, yes, I said it, but what I meant was she would lose her self-respect. She would lose her freshness, her ideals. She would sell herself for money, and that's why she would regret. That's how she would pay. That's why she would be sorry for the rest of her life.
You deny that you killed Helen Walker.
How could I kill her? I loved her.
When the police officers entered the apartment, there was blood on your hands.
Of course. She was lying on the floor. I tried to lift her, and there was blood on her.
If you didn't kill her, what were you doing there at that hour of the night?
I told you. I went there because Harry Bell came to me and said she wanted to see me. And when I got there, she was dead.
Mr. Bell, you had gone out with Miss Helen Walker.
Yes.
And had she ever mentioned anything about Stanley Mason's threats? Mr. Bell, you're under oath.
Well, it's just that I didn't think Stanley was that type of guy.
What type of guy?
Well, the type that could kill.
But?
Well, but nothing. I don't want to say any more.
You left Helen Walker at her apartment at about what time?
About a quarter after 2 a.m.
Where did you go from there?
Home.
You went right home. You didn't stop off to see Stanley Mason?
Why would I stop off to see Stanley Mason?
He says you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. It isn't true.
He's lying! He's lying!
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what are the simple but stubborn facts? We have the defendant who is obsessed by a passion for poor Helen Walker. He became violently jealous when she agreed to a date with Mr. Harry Bell. He threatened her. He came to her apartment late that night and killed her. He was found in her apartment, and her blood on his hands. The state rests its case.
I'm innocent. I tell you, I'm innocent. I loved her. I still love her.
The jury was back in an hour, Doctor. I think they could have come back in 15 minutes. Guilty. First degree. No recommendation for clemency. The judge passed sentence. Stanley was dead 3 months later.
And you just let it happen.
Well, by this time it was a snowball rolling downhill. It was getting too big. It was going too fast to stop.
And your conscience never bothered you?
Conscience? I used to have one. And then I heard something Stanley said. And thus doth conscience make cowards of us all. And I knew what that meant right off the bat. There are things that you have to do, and when you're too scared to do them, you blame it on your conscience. Would it have been better for me to have gone to the chair instead of Stanley? To have died instead of Stanley?
But Stanley isn't dead.
Oh, he's dead, all right. Stanley's wrapped in his coffin and buried in his grave.
He lives in you.
In me?
Yes. He has taken possession of you.
Oh, look. That's for primitive people, for ignorant, superstitious people, this possession business. Oh, I know that's what I spoke about earlier, but that's not why I came to you. You're a doctor. You're a psychiatrist. You don't believe. You can't believe in that kind of. Or do you?
I can only believe the evidence.
God, do you realize it's 1 o'clock? The Chicago people are already in town. They know I've said no to the deal. They'll kill me. They'll have to. They'll make it look like an accident, but with me out of the picture, they can get the votes to carry it through.
Carry what through?
The project. See, We're going to build these plants right near superhighways, an airport, railroad. But I thought it could make up a wonderful children's summer camp.
Who thought?
I told you, I thought.
Where would Harry Bell get such thoughts? That's how Stanley Mason would think.
What's wrong with you, Doc? Don't I know how important it is for kids to have a camp? I was brought up in a slum.
You are now Stanley Mason.
Oh, you're crazy.
You are Stanley Mason because you want to be Stanley Mason.
Me? I want to be a creep like Stanley? Why?
Because your conscience has made a coward of you.
I told you I don't have one.
You killed Helen Walker. You made Stanley pay for it. And now your conscience is exacting the price.
No.
You remember everything Stanley ever said. And you have become Stanley.
It's a lie.
Prove it. Pick up the telephone. Call your office and say what Harry Bell would say. Say the deal is going through. That is what Harry Bell would decide, isn't it? Well, why can't you do it?
Because I...
Yes. I'm waiting.
The words won't come out.
Because Stanley Mason won't permit them. A children's camp sounds like a much better idea than a cluster of factories.
You've got to get rid of Stanley for me.
Stanley seems a much finer person than Harry.
That's not for you to judge.
That's true. And yet, if Stanley has succeeded in transferring his ideals to you, society will certainly be the gainer.
But I'll be the loser.
Why?
I'll be killed. I can't protect myself.
I have heard of stories of possession by demons, evil spirits, but this is the first time a benign presence has...
It's his revenge, Stanley's revenge.
When did you first start feeling Stanley's presence?
I think it was when this project came up. Well, there was a lot of fuss raised against it, you know, do-gooders, extremist cranks. I didn't pay any attention.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Besides, that's all noise. But then some other money got interested and...
What other money?
I'll deny I ever said this. Racket money. And if I pull out on these fellas, send flowers.
Excuse me. Yes? I know. What's that? Oh, thank you. My receptionist. First, this appointment has run way past schedule.
I'll buy you a whole day.
A gentleman is waiting for you in the outer office.
For me?
Yes. He said to tell you he was your Chicago colleague.
The guy's gonna kill me.
Here? Shall I call the police?
It won't be here. It won't be anything the police will ever suspect or want to suspect.
Mr. Bell, you have a devil, or I should say, an angel in possession of you. Only you can exorcise him.
Can't you do anything?
What could be more simple than saying, the deal is on? Four little words. Four little one-syllable words. Common everyday words. That is your solution. That is your exorcism. That drives out Stanley Mason.
All right. Bring that Chicago guy in here.
In here?
What a chump I am. I'm going to let Stanley bust up my mind.
If you insist. Miss Pendleton, have Mr. Bell's colleague come in, please. Yes, Miss Pendleton, I know I'm running late.
All right, I feel I got Stanley on the run. How do you think he ever got inside me in the first place? Wait, it might have been something that Jerry Lane said. Who was it?
Jerry Lane?
Yeah, this guy from Chicago. Oh, hello, Jerry.
Harry.
Jerry, this is Dr. Kluger.
My pleasure. Your nurse said to come in.
Please, sit down.
Now, what is this, Harry?
You under the weather?
No. No, I'm fine now.
I heard some very puzzling news.
Well, we can talk here.
Well, I mean, about the project.
Yeah. What'd you hear?
Well, that you were having second thoughts.
Well, that's to be expected. So much is involved. There's been a big fuss raised.
Oh, that always happens. But what do I keep telling you? By the time we get finished, you work that little magic of yours, why, the whole thing will smell like cologne. Ain't that what I kept saying? Smell like cologne.
Cologne. The River Rhine, it is well known, doth wash thy city of cologne. But tell me, nymphs, what power divine shall henceforth wash the River Rhine?
What are you talking about?
It's not me. It's not me. It's Stanley. Stanley Mason.
Hey, Doctor, what's the matter with him?
Despoilers, destroyers, defacers. Begone with thy smog and thy smell, for earth must be made into heaven while thou wouldst convert it to hell.
Doctor, what's wrong?
The only thing I can think of. He is possessed.
You may have read of a tycoon who disappeared. As a matter of fact, it was a memorable headline. Tycoon disappears in typhoon. Mr. Harry Bell was washed off his yacht during a storm at sea. Some say it was a convenient disappearance because his financial empire had collapsed. The truth may be in the files of Dr. Maria Kluger, but ethically, morally, and legally, she cannot say a word on the subject. I'll return shortly.
You want your house to be a home all year round.
You can do it economically.
No matter what the weather's like outside, you can change it so easily. So make summer a cool and sane. Turn winter into spring. It's the right time for carriers. Carriers right for the times.
To be right for the times, the air conditioning you choose for your home has got to run efficiently. And that's the beauty of Carrier's Round One. Compared to most other central units, the Round One is a good deal quieter and a lot more economical to operate. Your local Carrier dealer has a special preseason offer on the Round One. Call him on it.
So make summer a cooling thing. Turn winter into spring. It's the right time for Carrier.
Revenge. The revenge of an evil man is to bring evil, in the expectation that evil will kill his hated enemy. What is the revenge of a good man? Since evil is inimical to his character, he can only perform good. Can you kill a person by filling him with goodness? You just heard it happen. It proves that there are more things on heaven and earth than are dreamed of in anyone's philosophy. And we get around to most of them right here, 7 times each week. Our cast included Court Benson, E.V. Juster, William Redfield, and Len Gotchman. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Have you ever turned up a stone, and suddenly what was beautiful and verdant is ugly and venomous?
You're telling me that what I may find out is ugly and venomous, and therefore should be kept a secret?
I'm saying more than that, Madame Peterson. I am asking you to take the statement we are willing to give you and return home. Heed my warning while there is still time. If you persist in this search, There is danger for you.
You're threatening me.
No. I was simply warning you that your search will inevitably lead you to some who held life very cheaply in those days. I cannot be responsible for what may happen.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Carrier Air Conditioning and True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
News. All 69 passengers held hostage on a hijacked Philippine Airlines plane in Manila have been released. There is now a new hostage. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS radio network. Reuters News Agency says the three armed hijackers, believed to be members of a secessionist group in the southern Philippines, allowed the passengers to leave the plane after the airline's vice president, Rafael Egoa, agreed to go aboard as a hostage. Hijackers had demanded the release of four prisoners from a Philippine jail, although this demand is not being met. Authorities assured them the prisoners would not be harmed. The other demand was for $300,000 ransom. An earlier report said President Ferdinand Marcos refused, but Egoa, now the lone hostage, said his company would pay it if the military would give permission. Three pilots and the regular crew of six will reportedly accompany Egoa when the plane takes off. Its destination is not certain, but the pilot has requested a flight map to Singapore. We'll have more news after this.
Sears announces the great American paint sale. Now save $4 a gallon on Easy Living, the one-coat paint Sears used to help protect the home of Betsy Ross and Boston's Old North Church. Now save on Easy Living, Sears' best flat finish latex. It covers walls and woodwork in one coat when applied according to label instructions. And later, when it counts, washes clean like enamel. Regularly $11.99, on sale now only $7.99. A $4 savings for great American homes like yours.
I'm Jim Kelly, CBS Radio Sports, and this Thursday we'll begin coverage of the 38th Masters Golf Tournament live from Augusta, Georgia. Jack Nicklaus trying to win his sixth green jacket, but you can never tell what'll happen when you get a group of great golfers together at Augusta. And we'll have special reports beginning Thursday, plus extra coverage Saturday and Sunday, along with reports, of course, in our regularly scheduled CBS Sports broadcast. Listen for special CBS Sports coverage of the 38th Masters beginning Thursday, right here on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
Democratic presidential hopeful Fred Harris, who has been running his so-called People's Campaign from a motorhome, has collected only 18 delegates in the primary so far. He has a news conference scheduled for Thursday. Jed Duval reports from Washington.
Former Oklahoma Senator Fred Harris will announce that he is foregoing active campaigning in future primaries. Harris, now far behind the pack in the Democratic Party contest, will conserve his resources for the New York City Convention, hoping at least to make an impact on the party platform. The Harris campaign, on a shoestring from the start, suffered further financial damage from the hang-up in federal matching funds. Harris had hoped to make a major effort in Pennsylvania's primary at the end of April, but there is no money for it, and campaign trips there have been canceled. So Fred Harris, the cheerful populist, stops campaigning, but claims he's still in the race. Jed Duval, CBS News, Washington.
Jimmy Carter and President Ford, the big winners so far in the 1976 primary season, have moved closer to the Democratic and Republican presidential nominations with victories in Wisconsin. Mr. Ford beat Ronald Reagan easily in Wisconsin and added 45 delegates to his total. Carter, trailing Representative Morris Udall in Tuesday night's count, overtook Udall early Wednesday with 26 delegates. Udall got 25. It was close. Russell Peterson, the chairman of the President's Council on Environmental Quality, spoke at an environmental leaders forum at Syracuse University Wednesday. He was asked a question he's been asked before. Do environmental safeguards lead to loss of jobs?
I get very unhappy and irritated with people who say that we must slow up on the environmental cleanup problem because it's threatening our economic prosperity, threatening our jobs. That's dead wrong. just the opposite is true. And anyone who promotes the idea of protecting jobs by slowing up and cleaning up the environment will do two negative things. Will contribute to the poor health of the community and reduce jobs.
An indefinite curfew has been ordered in the Beirut area, where the Lebanese parliament will meet on Saturday to hold a presidential election. The rebel army command called for the curfew because several violent incidents have taken place near the villa where parliament will meet. Deputies plan to amend the constitution to allow for the immediate election of a new president to succeed Christian President Suleiman Frangia. More news after this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
An earthquake has hit southwestern Iran near its border with the Soviet Union. The quake registered 6.25 on the Richter scale, and the U.S. National Earthquake Service in California says it was strong enough to cause severe damage in a populated area. There's been no word on just how populated that area hit by the earthquake is. Rita Sands, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on Music Radio 97. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.